in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all need help. I venture to draw your prayerful attention to three words that you will find in the Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And these three words: this same Jesus, this same Jesus. This is the message of the two in white apparel, messengers from heaven, as the Lord Jesus had ascended into glory, his work, a finished work here on this earth, sealed by his glorious resurrection, ascending now in a triumph to glory, that as that these dear disciples, whom the Lord had outstretched his hands and blessed them in parting, that to them these messages from heaven remind them that he is, though now in heaven and to the end of time, this same Jesus. We might ask ourselves a very important question: what think ye of Christ? The worldling despises Christ, sets him at naught. The dead professor may know much in the head about Christ, and indeed some worldlings will express their admiration and their wonder at the example of Christ, of his forgiveness to those who crucified him. But they see and have no desire after Christ, because the Holy Spirit has not as yet convinced them of their sin. And so, my friend, what think ye of Christ? Are you one of these poor sinners of earth, tempted and tried, tempted by Satan, condemned by the law, and burdened with your sin? And you thought at one time that you could, by living a better life, could remove the burden, right to seek to live a better life. But hast thou been brought to that one place where you know the only one that can save you is Jesus Christ? Now wait a minute. You know that. But what happens to you? Are you seeking him? You see, some people may know that in their head, that only Jesus can save them. But what we need is the power of the Spirit under the conversion of sin, under conviction of sin, to flee from the wrath to come to a precious Christ. So what think you of Christ? Oh, and do you come sometimes? Is he my Saviour? Did he die for me? Could those blessings be mine? Oh, will he receive me? Well, we may trace this out a little more as we may be enabled. So what think you of Christ? Do you think about Christ? Are you one of those that think on his name, that hope in his mercy? And as you think about him, you think of all his wonder, of his love, and his mercy, and his grace, and his power, and all that he is. And yet, oh, the longing desire in your soul, is it so that you might know him and all these blessings, and these blessings might flow into your heart? And come to that, do you pray to him? Do you ask Jesus to help you? Even as a child, I believe I could say this: the Lord led me to pray and brought me to a sense of my sin and lost state, And I was only about 12 years old, and a young lad, and then led to pray, and not just to say a prayer, but ask God to forgive me, ask God to save me, ask God to help me, ask God to bless me. And then do you talk to Jesus? Do you have communion with Jesus? And do you pour your heart to Jesus? Do you lean hard upon Jesus? Do you look alone to Jesus? This same Jesus. Oh, I do pray that the Lord will help me to speak of him tonight, to lift him high on the gospel pole. Why, his name is wonderful. And you see, somebody we may say, or some circumstance in life is wonderful, but it only for a short time, and often that fades away. But his name is wonderful. It's unchanging wonderfulness. And of course it is, because all the time the earth remains, the work of heaven will be performed in sinners' hearts. And there will be those on the face of the earth who will be brought to see and to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be amazed at it and see the wonder of it and the amazing grace that saved them. Wonderful. And again, as I think of this same Jesus, we read he's the chiefest among 10,000. He's the most precious one. Is he precious to your soul? To young people, is Christ dear to you? Is he precious to you? Do you long to know him? Perhaps you may say, all I seem to know is I'm a guilty, lost sinner, and I don't have any blessing from Jesus yet. But do you pray for it? Do you look for it? Do you hope for it? You pray on. Pray on, dear friend. Wait patiently for the first glimmer of hope, for that first word of heaven to drop into your heart, and you'll receive it, and you'll bless God for it, and you'll hope in his mercy. I suppose practically all here who have professed Christ, been baptized, can look back to those early days of the first scripture or so that caused them to hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And is he the one thing needful? Oh, you may have, and we all have many needs, but there's one thing. This dear Jesus, can you do without this Jesus? Is he so dear to your soul? Do you love him? Do you say, Lord, I want to love thee. I'm so poor. My heart is so sinful. My heart is so hard. And I do find in me there's those things that love the world, and I don't want to love the world. I do want to love Jesus. And yet, oh, Lord Jesus, do come and help me. Do come and save me. Do have mercy upon me. Do have pity upon me. Now, this is our consolation. This is our comfort. This is the strength of our faith, that he is this same Jesus. That fullness in him is inexhaustible. That mercy that flows from him is still from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. That precious blood shed on the cross at Calvary is still as effective today and will be to the end of time. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Oh, friend, ponder over it, this same Jesus, unchanging, unfailing, unalterable, always the same. So, beloved, whatever your case may be, whatever your burden may be, whatever spiritual need you may have, whatever providential care that you may carry, is this same dear Jesus. Just think even in your providential circumstances. Did not Jesus say, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father's knowledge? Fear not ye, you are more value than many sparrows. Value to Jesus Christ, a sinner like me, so vile, so sinful, a value to Christ. My dear friend, if you are a born again sinner, a believer in the dear Lord Jesus Christ, one of his dear children, you are so valuable to him, sinner as we are and filthy as we are, so valuable that his love toward us was revealed in that he shed his precious blood, that he should come from glory to this earth. And do ponder it over. I want to speak very carefully, most reverently. It wasn't just that he came from earth and it was done in a moment of time. Creation, step by step in those 6 days, was done as God spake, and it was done. But now, this great work of salvation, to save your soul, to deliver you from the powers of evil, to wash away your sin, to clothe you with that robe of his righteousness. Beloved friend, that this is seeing that this dear Jesus, and do just remember and never lose sight of it, that he is, ever was, and will be the Son of God. Never was that laid aside. Ever the Son of God, as he came to this earth and was found in fashion as a man. Yes, the Son of God. That holy thing, the Son of God. That babe in the manger, the Son of God. Yet the Son of God in his deity, now revealed in that sacred union, in that sinless humanity. A man, this same Jesus, a real man, a man that suffered pain, a man that hunger and thirst, a man that was tempted, a man that was often scorned and hated and much more weary with his journey. We hardly can understand how deity as such cannot hunger or thirst or be weary, or cannot shed blood, cannot lay down a life, because his life is ever was and will be. But there is this sinless humanity, and here we see the unfolding of the purpose of heaven. We see the unfolding of the covenant ordered in all things, and sure, we see that purpose of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in the salvation of all his dear people. This same Jesus, he came to this earth and was found on this earth without controversy. Great was the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You just try and think of it. It's staggering. It's overwhelming. God manifest, revealed in the flesh. Still God, but in the flesh. One person, two natures, blended, inseparable. And here you see the glory of that gift of the Father in the to seek the, out the salvation of his people, that here is one that should come, the God-man, God mighty to save, a man with a life to live and a blood to be shed, a blood so precious because it is holy, it is sinless, it is spotless, it is pure, and it is that which cleanseth from all sin. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. So let us just ponder and pause in this for a moment and think of his word. You won't find any alteration with it, will you? You won't find any amendment to it, will you? And I find no need to modernize it either. I want nothing more than this precious version of the Bible, which we feel is the nearest and God-honored scriptures of the Word of God, so dear to my soul. And what is such a grieving thing today, that other people that use other versions, they don't speak the same language. If they speak anything of the Bible, whereas in our younger days and up to about, I suppose, 1960 or 70, anybody speaking in the Bible is the one tongue, one language. But now it's a We, but those of us that love the truth, we speak the same language, we quote the same scripture, and it's the blessed word of God that is so pure to our soul. And these words that Jesus made, remember, it's this same Jesus, that there's no alteration on the words of judgment of the ungodly, of the tares of the wheat, of the sleeping virgins, and the door was shut. That this same Jesus speaks of heaven, but also speaks of hell. Make no mistake about that. But I say, this word that Jesus speaks when he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And my friend, that word stands now. One of our hymns blessedly says it all. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Oh, beloved friend, are you offended at that? Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. And you say, I'm not so bad as that. My friend, you need the Lord to teach you more than that. Oh, I tell you this, when the Holy Spirit lays hold upon you and reveals your sinnership, you'll say, oh, I'm not just a little sinner. You may be able to thank God like I can and others that we've been preserved from the grosser sins of mankind outwardly. But oh, the sin within. Oh, my friend, the defilement, the filth. Oh, what can we say to that? And yet I say, here we see that wondrous love of the Saviour, that this word that speaks to us of pardon, and this promise, this gospel blessing, and this word of the gospel that says, come, that door of mercy is still open. One day it will be shut and shut forever. Oh, where will you be found? Just as I think of the ark, and God shut them in. And my friend, the safety only was within the ark. Those that derided the Noah as he built the ark, those that may have even admired his handiwork to that effect, but without, there was no hope. My friend, it's safe within the ark, safe in that door. Oh, my friend, this precious Jesus, oh, who loves sinners, died for them, and his word is unchanging. So when I come to those words as I do, in fact, it's the word, the first word I ever tried to preach from, and it was before the church, as I came before the church regarding the ministry. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. My friend, this is the Jesus that receiveth sinners. He's this same Jesus. And so, my soul, take courage. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome at the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And then just think of his love. You see, human love changes, sometimes hot and sometimes cold. But this is everlasting love. This love goes back to eternity past. This love goes back to the covenant ordered in all things and sure. And this is the love that was set upon that people chosen by God, whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so the dear weeping prophet could say love with an... you must bear with me, I'm getting old, and my mind with the most well-known scripture sometimes gets lost just for the moment, but let me get it quite right. And the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, that's it, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, look at that, yea, it's sealed to the blood of Christ. It's the assurance of heaven, a word that will never be broken. Your hope will be built on it. Yea, I, says God, the holy God, the all-glorious God, have loved thee, poor, vile, lost sinner on this earth. Loved thee with an everlasting, unchangeable love. Whatever the devil may say, whatever the world may be, and however sinful you are, not that that condones any sin, God forbid. Love thee with an everlasting love, and do you want to know it? Therefore, says God, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, beloved friend, if you're a drawn sinner to Christ, It comes in that precious word, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. This same Jesus. And then look at that word. We must come back to love again. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his brethren. Oh, friend, think of it. The love of the Saviour. Oh, that we... We pray that we may be led by the Spirit with all saints to be able to comprehend what is the length that is everlasting, what is the depth it plucks from hell, the height it takes to heaven, from east to west, as we might say, reaches out to the farthest sinners away from God as sheep can run, and the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. A love so great that Jesus loved and gave himself, laid down his life upon that cross. My friend, Paul could say, oh, may we, yes, I can, by grace of God, the life that I now live in the flesh, that in my body I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that faith is that grace bestowed by the Holy Spirit at the new birth. And that faith is an active faith. It has business to do at the cross of Christ, at the blood of Christ. I sometimes say, God in his mercy, in his love, has provided these blessings for faith. The blessings of pardon, the blessing of the blood of Christ, the blessings of that robe of righteousness, the blessings of exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, look what God has provided for faith. And faith hungers for it. Faith reaches out for it, longs to receive it, and from time to time is strengthened thereby by his love and then his mercy. And you see, that's why when poor things on this earth, when Jesus was here, cried for mercy. What about that poor dear blind man down by in Jericho? He heard the noise of people passing by. You see, he was very sensitive. He was aware something was taking place, but he couldn't see. And they said, oh, it was ready to despising. It is Jesus of Nazareth. That is a title of scorn. No good thing could come out of Nazareth. It's only him that's passing by. Oh, what it meant to that dear man. What does it mean to you? When you hear Christ proclaim, when you hear the ungodly blaspheme that name, does it hurt you? Oh, you say, oh, that their eyes might be open. Oh, that they might be brought to that Christ that I love. Yes, but what did that man say? A Jesus, thou son of David, the Messiah. What faith he had. He must have heard about this Jesus. Perhaps it may be in this way. Ah, but if he came here, he won't look on me. I shan't know he's here. It's hopeless. Ah, but Jesus knew all about him. And he's there. And there's an appointment. My friend, I'm sure of it. An appointment in heaven, when every vessel of mercy, every lost lamb and sheep will be found at that appointed time according to the eternal purposes of God. Remember that. And so, as he's cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Oh, he said, I can't crave anything else. Look at me, I'm hopeless. I can't, I'm just blind. And no one can help me. No one can save me. And they said, you mustn't shout like that. You mustn't cry out like that. My friend, the poor man couldn't stop. I know what that is in my seeking days. I don't mean that every minute of my life I was praying that, but not long, again the cry comes out. And that still comes out. Mercy, mercy, you sung about it this afternoon. And we prove how we need this mercy. And Jesus heard, I sometimes say, one of the most wonderful words in the gospel, when that man cried the second time, and we read, Jesus stood still. Think on it. The cry of a beggar. This man receiveth sinners. I didn't say further. He just said, they went to him and said, be of good comfort. He rises, he calleth thee. He calls you, my friend, you that are crying for mercy, calling unto him. He says, come, come, O everyone that thirsteth, you that thirst and pant for Christ, come. Here's the way, here's the salvation, it's full, here is free mercy. And then this blood, the precious blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary. Oh, friend, is your religion, is your prayers filled with the precious blood of Christ? The desire after that blood, the seeking of the cleansing power of that precious blood. Oh, is it, my friend, the desire? Oh, think of those lines of one that write, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And I come back to the first verse. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. You may say, who is it for? And sinners. Convinced sinners would be, find that so precious, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. My friend, there won't be, there cannot be, any unpardoned sin, spot, blot, or stain within the gates of glory. They will be, all God's children will be presented faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Think on it. And who is this blood shed for? I quote a scripture that's often so dear to me when Satan tempts me on it, and he does. Who delivered us from the power of darkness. And remember what that says. It doesn't say darkness. The power of it has got you, it's captivated you. You're a prisoner. You can't get free. You can't get a glimpse of light. But God comes. God shines the light into your soul of his truth by the Spirit, and delivered you from the power of darkness, and translated you, taken you out of, brought you from the world into his heaven, into the kingdom of his grace. That is the kingdom of his dear Son, the kingdom of God's grace. Now, what does the word of God say? In whom ye have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The calling out of that darkness into might, being brought into the kingdom of God's grace, is inseparable from the blood of Christ, which is inseparable from the forgiveness of sin, which is inseparable from being found in glory at last. If we confess our sin, now we want to be careful there. Many confess their sin and say, yes, I've sinned, but they're in hell. But with a godly sorrow for sin, pleading in faith the blood of Christ, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then look at his power. Oh, you say, if ever I do need power, I do. On such a vile sinner, can it be that he can save even me? You may feel sometimes devil possessed. You may feel with unclean spirit, unclean thought. You may feel, oh, Lord, put forth thy power. I'm a leprosy, full of it. I want cleansing. I've got this issue of blood. I can't stop it. I can't stanch it. Oh, I would come to thee. I would press through the crowd. I would touch the hem of thy garment. Oh, that virtue may go forth from me. Oh, that my issue of blood might be stanched. My friend, this is the path. This is the way. Pursue it. Carry on. Continue in it. Seek after it. Plead for it. And my friend, his power, and then again, his power to help you, his power to save you, his power to keep you, his power to provide for you, everything that you need, guiding you in the way. Why? The risen Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and all power, he said, and though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, look at it. What more can he say to you than he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? And then look at this too. Though he in heaven, he is this same Jesus, this same Jesus that intercedes for sinners, this same Jesus that we go to the throne of Christ. You say, if only he was here on earth, I'd run to him. I would cling to him. I would, my friend, go to him. He's in heaven. You can still go. You can't see him, but he sees you. And he's the same Jesus. He's full of compassion and full of tender mercy. And you say, but oh, look at me. I'm such a wretch. Look at me. I'm so sorely tempted. Look at me. I'm falsely accused. Make sure you are falsely accused. But if that's the case, that you may suffer reproach for Christ's sake, take it all to Jesus. Look at him. He's this same Jesus. And sometimes when you're so weary and can't go on, as we said this afternoon a little bit, and he said to his disciples, come ye apart and rest a while. His compassion is unchanging. He's full of compassion and of tender mercy toward all his dear people. This same Jesus. And what about his presence? You say, but he's not here on this earth. No, he's in heaven. But he has given the promise, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he will come and abide with you and in you forever. Look at it, my friend. Look at the provision that is made. And he takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto us. Then again, think of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. This same Jesus, he still is the Saviour, ever will be, mighty to save, able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I love it because he's a mighty, almighty Saviour. My dear friends, indeed he is. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Indeed he's a friend. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that never changes. One that is above all other, well deserves the name of friend. Is his love beyond a brother's, costly free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. Ponder over it, receive it. Then, my friend, you may say, ah, but look, I've got such a tangled life. I want to be led in the right way. I want to be fed. I want to be kept. I want somebody to watch over me. Well, then, what about the shepherd of the sheep? What is, when that shepherd, he has the constant care of his sheep. And look, earthly shepherds can fail. They can go to sleep. Sometimes the thief could break through. Never will one of those sheep and lambs redeemed by the blood of Christ, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Look, my friend, at your eternal safety and provision. He'll go in front of you, footsteps of the flock. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, see also, lead you into the green pastures beside the still waters. Sometimes he maketh me to lie down. Sometimes when you've been so weary and you see restless and you can't kind of loosen up yourself at all, if I put it that way, full of stress and strain. And the Lord sometimes says, come ye apart, and favours you with a little word to quieten your spirit, calm your nature, and grant you a little of that peace within your poor heart. Oh, friend, and think of all that. And yes, sometimes the shepherd leads you into dark valleys, lonely valleys, but he's there. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Blessed be God. My friend, he'll never fail you, the shepherd of the sheep. And then you may say, ah, but look, I'm sinking down. I'm dropping. Rock of ages, my friend, unshakable, unmovable, a cleft rock, hiding place, refuge, foundation, support, comfort, strength. Think of it. Yes, you may be shaken on the rock, but never off it. That's our comfort. And so we could go on as far as we can. This same Jesus. Then again, tracing it out a little further, going through a little bit again of his life, we trace out how he went to the cross. The love of his heart. And you sung that hymn about a cup. My friends, the Lord Jesus said, the cup that my Father giveth me, shall I not drink it? What was that cup? Wrath. For whom? Why? He had done no sin? No. but sin was charged to him, laid on him. And the Father filled that cup with wrath for sin. The wrath due to all his dear people, the hell due to them. And there at Calvary, the dear Saviour drank that cup. Now our cup, yes, there's something often very bitter. We shrink from it, but my Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is this. And there's something secret, sweet, and so is this same Jesus. And I believe we know a little of that fellowship with Christ when at times brought to that place to be alone, a stone cast alone as the Saviour was, and that cup in your hand, and that cry for help, that agonized cry, and yet the Lord drawing near with divine comfort, support, and proving all the bitters made sweet by that sweetness in that cup. Something that, why, a blessing that you've longed for all your life, maybe, in that cup of pain and sorrow, bereavement, loss and cross. Oh, beloved friend, this same Jesus. And oh, I wish I could preach, my friend. I've just tried to name a few lisping things about the love of the dear Saviour in his mercy, compassion, power and his grace. But I think too of his resurrection. I think of how he appeared. Oh, doesn't it give you comfort? What about that weeping Mary? What about that Peter that denied him three times? What about Thomas that had said, I'm not going to believe unless I put my fingers in that print of the nails and thrust my hand into the side? But my friends, I say, when the Lord appeared, oh, how those tears were wiped away. You see, Jesus was everything to them. They couldn't do without him. But though he's in heaven, he's this same Jesus, the power is his, and that power is put forth. And my friend, we must never lose sight of that, and this is made known to us by the Holy Spirit of God. This same Jesus, in this world of evil and sin, of wickedness, oh friend, that here we have the one that is coming again. And as the text here says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye seen him go into heaven. In all his glory and majesty, triumph and victory, he is coming again. He's going to descend from heaven. There was the loud voice from the cross. It is finished. It's done. Now he's coming to the voice of God. The trump of God shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And oh friend, the dear Saviour is coming, because he's the bridegroom. He has a bride. He's the shepherd. He's got a flock. Oh my friend. And he's coming. And he's coming for them, while their redeemed spirits are with him. But there's the their mortal remains, the dust, redeemed dust, that's going to rise, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, be changed, fashioned like unto his glorious body. What a blessed prospect. Oh friend, this same Jesus. So as the apostle speaks of, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, the best is yet to be. May God grant us this grace. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice and all his will esteem. May grace be given to us. Oh, may we be true followers of the Lamb, and the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. My dear friends, He's the King of Kings, He's the Lord of Lords. We will unite, and one day, well, here on earth we sing His praise, one day to join in the everlasting song and crown Him a Lord of all. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. Worthy the Lamb that died, they cried, to be exalted thus. Worthy the Lamb that died for us, who died for us. The Lord bless the few lisping notes of praise to Him, our dear Jesus, the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000, and unto you which believe, He is precious, and Lord, thou art precious to my soul. Oh, do make thyself real to me, that I might know thee, love thee, that I might surrender myself to thee. And I close with those lines, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. The Lord bless His word. Amen.